إن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. I praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I seek His help, I seek His assistance and His forgiveness. We put our trust in Him, we believe in Him, and we seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our own selves. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, indeed there is none who can lead him astray. And whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to go astray, there is none who can guide him aright. I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, his messenger, and the seal of all the prophets. After what proceeds, I greet you with the greeting of peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you all. We want to start today this advanced studies of Al-Islam class by saying and stating that today's subject will be concerning the righteous wife in Al-Islam, the righteous wife. But before we put this subject or this title in due perspective, I want to start by quoting some statements of the Salaf and some statements from Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and statements from Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah concerning this subject. The subject is very important in Al-Islam, the righteous wife, the righteous wife in Al-Islam. When I was studying this subject, I came across a text or fatwa of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and he said concerning this subject, and there is no single right after the right of Allah and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam binding upon the woman, more binding upon the woman than the right of her husband. So the most important right after the right of Allah and His Messenger upon the woman or the women is the right of their husbands. I found this very, 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 very peculiar. There's a lot of questions circulating, questions that may cause some confusions in the Ummah, especially from the modernists, especially from the people who are pro liberation, etc. There's a lot of questions, and they're even affecting the Muslim woman. The question is, Why are Muslim men so harsh to their women? Well, hopefully today, inshallah ta'ala, we can look at this question, we can analyze this question, we can come with a determination on how we should look at ourselves as women and men, as husbands and wife, and try to derive how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to live and conduct our lives. After looking at the statement of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, we try to reach this subject. There's one verse in Quran, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala khalaq al kulli shay. He has said concerning the obedience, I think we should go into this verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi min shaitan wajim, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنًا وَلَا مُؤْمِنَاتٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. This verse, before I translate it, is a verse that is one of the principles of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, translation of which, it is not fitting for any believing man or woman when Allah and His Messenger have decreed any matter that they should have an opinion in the affair, and whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has strayed in plain error. Well, this may be one verse from the Quran, but this composes a large pool of understanding this deen. This deen is upon compliance and submission and obedience. Okay? Allah Azza wa Jal is giving us our principles. He has said in his verse, this is chapter 33, verse 36, it is not fitting for any believing man or woman. You see here, when Allah and His Messenger have decreed any matter that they should have an opinion in their affair, or this word could be translated as objection. And you hear someone say, Mustafa, or Sheikh, or Sheikh, what do you mean by this? And, well, I thought that this and that, or that doesn't sound right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is not for any believing man or woman when Allah and His Messenger have decreed a matter, this is translation, that they should have any objection or opinion in their affair. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees a matter, that's it. When Allah and His Messenger has said, this is what we have to do, this is it. And you do not have any objection toward what Allah and His Messenger has given us. The other half of this ayat, or this other half of this principle, whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger have strayed in plain error. This is revealing some of the munafiqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you something about the hypocrites. That they say, okay, we Muslim, we that, well, but if you find them always, you know, disobedience to Allah and His Messenger, objecting to Allah and His Messenger, why to Allah and His Messenger? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, these are the people, translation, Allah is teaching us that these are the people who are in error. They don't comply with the Sharia. They're not content with what Allah and His Messenger gave us. They do not agree. They object. They have their opinions. Well, this, yada, yada, yada. So in understanding this principle and complying and accepting this nasiha from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this advice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or this sincere advice from Allah azza wa jal, now we can go into the subject of a righteous wife. If you understand, if whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam give us, you have to comply. Not only comply like, oh yeah, okay, I'll wash the dishes. No. But you comply, yes ma'am, I will wash the dishes. Or yes sir, I will. This is compliance. Right? This is compliance. Not only do you do the action that you're obedient, but inside of your heart, you're glad that this came to you. You're glad that this came to you. Okay? So, looking at the subject of a righteous wife, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us some information concerning this, because the Christians and the Yahud, they don't have this knowledge. The Christians have totally distorted the knowledge of a righteous woman, a righteous wife, how to treat their companions. They have a few verses, but they do not have the information we have. So I say, everyone who's listening here today, please honor this information. Please honor this information. Another caution, if you're new to Islam and you misunderstand anything from what I say, I advise that you get to someone who you feel is learned enough to explain what I say, what I've said. Okay? So keeping this principle in mind, from Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, translation of which, the scholar had came up with a title, and the title of this particular subject, or the subtitle of this subject, is the seriousness of the rights of the husband. He started. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, was translated as which, the men have authority over women due to the excellence which Allah has given to the man over the women, due to the wealth that they spend upon them. Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, says that this ayah means the man is in charge of the women, i.e. he is the one in charge of her, her chief, the one having authority over her, and the one who corrects her if she inclines from what is correct. Another scholar said that concerning this first ayat, that is due to the excellence of men over women and the eminence which they have been given over them. So the preeminence of the men over the women is from many aspects. And he named some aspects. Holding positions of leadership and authority is particular to men. Likewise, prophethood and messengership. They are also particularized by many acts of worship, such as jihad, the Eids, and the Jama'ah prayers. So he gave his explanation on why the men have the men have been given, that's due to their excellence of men over women. Al-Qasimi said, rahimahullah, the men have authority over the women. This is his interpretation of this ayah. Qawwamun. It is the plural of Qawwam. Qawwam is the one who is responsible for taking care of their welfare, managing their affairs, and disciplining them. That is, they are in charge of and are to take care of the manners and behavior of the women. Order them and forbidding them from wrongdoing. And he said this is the reason, due to the nature which Allah created and gave them, and due to the role which the men and the women. And this means that the men have a position of dominance over them due to the superiority which Allah has given to men over the women. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, translation of which, men have a degree over them. This is Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, 228. Okay, Ibn Kathir, he gave his commentary concerning this verse. Ibn Kathir said, meaning in excellence is the nature given to them in manners and status and the obedience due to them in their spending and taking care of the women's welfare. Okay. So we see from these ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a status of men over the women. I've read that this means responsibility. I've also read that this means rights over men. I've also read this means excellence over men. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put one over the other. This is how we should understand this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given responsibilities over the other. Okay? There can only be one leader in the household, and that has to be the husband. That has to be the man. The man should not be given a hard time by his family. His family should facilitate ease for the man so he can carry out his job. It's a big task he has. Bringing in the funds, protecting the family, looking after the welfare of the family, making sure everyone is fed, making sure everyone is clothed, making sure everyone is cured from their sicknesses, making sure there's no leaking pipes, making sure there's no snakes in the backyard, making sure the ground is sprayed so no roaches can come in. You know, who do you call on when there's a big rat in the bedroom? Daddy, come. Right? Allah has naturally given us that inclination to call upon the man. And it is a matter of destruction for this ummah to look for the kuffar to try to turn the turntable, right, towards us and say the men are just as equal to us women, and the women, we're just as equal to the men. This is not true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made one stronger than the other. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made one stronger than the other, more tougher than the other. Right? Men, they have strong bones, right? Elias? Women, they're soft. Men, they're more inclined to go out on the battlefield. Women are more inclined to peace. Men are more inclined to take on challenges, concerning fear, women are more inclined to looking for assistance on options how to avoid. Men are more tough and rough and emotional when it comes to harm. Women are more compassionate, merciful, and soft. For example, a man, he could not stay all day 8 hours with three kids, four kids, and take, no, he'd go crazy. A woman, she could stay all day long and it would not faze her. Right? She'd probably get a little irritated, especially if she has ileus and agita. But women are more patient with their children. Men, they could take it, yeah, but if they had to. You see the different type of natures we have. So, in understanding that there is a difference in our psychology, there is a difference in our makeup, then you'll put your role as a man or a woman in proper perspective. Going back to the text, Abu Huraira, and this hadith is in Bukhari. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports that the Messenger of Allah, alaykum salam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, it is not right for a woman to fast whilst the husband is present except with his permission. And whatever wealth she spends in charity without his order, then half of the reward is for him. SubhanAllah. So we see in some of the principles of some of the in Sharia, some of the rulings of Sharia, is that a woman cannot fast, optional fast, without her husband's permission. She has to ask. And Rasulullah said, translation of which, whichever wealth she spends in charity without his order, then half of the reward is for him. Allahu Akbar. This is showing the excellence of, alaykum salam, of a woman going to her husband and acknowledging his leadership, going to him. Rasulullah is teaching the woman to go to the man and to ask the man, my husband, can I do this? Or should I do this? Going to and get his advice, even in matters of charity. Even in matters of charity. Sheikh Al-Abani, rahimahullah, he said, since it is an obligation upon the woman to obey her husband with regard to fulfilling his desire with her, then it is even more fitting that it is obligatory upon her to obey him with regard to that which is even more important than that, such as what pertains to the bringing up of children, correcting her family, and the like, and all such rights and obligations. So the Shaykh rahimahullah is giving his advice. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam even commanded us to not refuse him when it comes to marital affairs, then how can it be logical then she could refuse him and that which is more important than that, such as the bringing up of children, correcting her family, and the like, and choosing friends, etc. الحافظ ابن حاجر رحمه الله said concerning this hadith, the hadith shows that the right of the husband upon the wife has priority over her performing optional good deeds, such as his right, since his right is an obligation, and fulfillment of an obligation takes precedence over carrying out something optional. This hadith is this narration is from Al-Fath Ibn Hajar. So the Sheikh here, he is saying his commentary on this hadith, that this shows the right of her husband has priority over her performing optional good deeds, since his right is an obligation. You must. And fulfillment of an obligation takes precedence over carrying out something optional. I remember back in Houston, and this is a footnote, I went to a gas station, and I think I was back then going with the Tablighi Jama'ah, right? A lot of distortions and a lot of deviance. And we went to one brother. I don't know if we can call him a brother, but he was in one of those gas stations selling khamra and the norm magazines, you know, the norm. And we were talking to him about the excellence of salah, virtues of prayer, the virtues of obeying the sharia, right? And he said to us, brother, what I do, since after 9/11 things have went a lot of tough. And he was a Sufi. He said, and he quoted a hadith. He just totally took the hadith out of context. He quoted the hadith, to support his deviance. He said, all I do now, after 9/11, all I do is I do dhikr all day. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanallah al-azim. He said, with this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all the sins, right? He said, yeah, but you, but what, brother? It's hadith. This is Quran and Hadith, akhi. Says Subhanallah. So, if you look at an obligation, which is Salah, and you look at something extra, which is Dhikr, Subhanallah, wa bihamdihi, is not a must. But he replaced something that was extra was something that was obligatory. So he is and subhanallah, he's far away from what is guidance. So Ibn Hajar, he said that the fulfillment of an obligation takes precedence over carrying out something optional. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he was asked about a man who has a wife who fasts during the day and stands in prayer throughout the nights. Whenever he calls her to his bed, she refuses and gives precedence to praying in the night and fasting during the day over obedience to the husband. So is this permissible? Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he replied, but before I answer this, I want to give some more volume to this particular situation. This woman, she was salih. During the day, you know what she did? She fasted. SubhanAllah. Fasting during the day, abstaining from food and water, this is hard, for the sake of Allah. And you know what she did during the night? She made salah. No offense, man. This wife here, this woman here is a winner. But look at what the questioner is said after this. Whenever he calls her to his bed, she refuses and gives precedence to praying in the night and fasting during the day over obedience to the husband. So is this permissible? Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said, quote, that is not permissible for her by agreement of the Muslims. Rather, it is obligatory upon her to obey him when he calls her to bed. This is a binding obligation upon her. However, standing the night prayer and fasting during the days is optional. So how can a believing woman give precedence to something optional over an obligation? And then the Sheikh, he gave this principle, and there is no right after the right of Allah and His Messenger more binding upon the woman than the rights of her husband. So, right here, the woman indeed, we should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon this matter. One of the beauties of this statement from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is that he answered a complex question that is going around here in the media or in the Muslim world today. There's a question: If your mother asks you to do something and your husband asks you to do something, who should you obey first? You hear this demon question. This is from the shaitan. Number one. Number two, this should not obstruct any obedience to your husband at all. Clock, out of good character. Okay, the Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, and there is no right after the right of Allah and His Messenger more binding upon the woman than the rights of her husband. You know, I was this brings to mind a one lecture that I heard from one of the students of knowledge, or one of the ulama, I cannot recall which one. He said that the revival of the ummah is not by protest and by political actions and email list and then, but the revival of this ummah, it starts with the home. So the woman correcting her role inside the home is a revival, is the best, one of the best revivals of this ummah. The woman learning how she should act. The woman learning how she should act in her home, how she should act toward her husband. Also, this is This also is the best, one of the best means of revival of the ummah. Okay, y'all three, go upstairs. So Mu'adh ibn Jabal rahimahullah, I mean radiyallahu anhu, said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if the woman knew the right of the husband, she would not sit when his morning and evening meals were presented until he finished. And this hadith is reported in Sahih al-Jami'ah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if the woman knew the right of the husband, she would not sit when his morning and evening meals were presented until he finished. She would not sit. Allah Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a woman prays her five obligatory prayers or her five prayers, fasts her month, guards her private parts, and obeys her husband, it will be said to her, enter paradise through any whichever of the gates of paradise you wish. This hadith has also been declared sahih. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, translation of which, your women from the people of paradise are beloved and fertile. The one who is an asset to her husband, who if her husband becomes angry, comes and places her hand in the hand of her husband and says, I will not taste sleep until you are pleased. This hadith has also been declared sahih. And this is hard, right? This is a big form of mujahida, right? Her husband, the woman may have angered her husband or became upset with her, and she being knowledgeable enough to know the ahkam of sharia, the rulings of sharia, and she knows what Allah and His Messenger had stated concerning the husband's right over her. She goes to him regardless of whether she was right or wrong. She says to him, I will not taste sleep until you are pleased with me. Okay. Take a look at yourself as a Muslim woman and see, do you have the enthusiasm, the love of Allah and His Messenger to acknowledge that your husband may have, you know inside yourself your husband, he's wrong, right? And he's wronger than wrong, but still I'm going to go to him for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to go to him, I'm going to put my hand in his hand and say to him, I will not sleep until you are pleased with me. How many of us could do this? How many of us could do this? How many of us are holding fast to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enough to do this? Okay, a lot of us brothers and sisters, a lot of us sisters say that they're upon the sunnah, right? They're in niqab and they're in jilabiya and they're in khimar and they would not sleep on a silk pillow, and never would they eat on the tables of the kuffar. But when your husband calls you at the end of the night, you don't respond. But when a husband gives an order, you say, but let's do this. But you're objecting and you don't take in concern. and you give your husband a hard time. And a lot of the foreign brothers and sisters from the Muslimin, they come here and they say, American women, American women, they give you a hard time. American women is tough, right? So, you know, we come from an environment where we're used to, where our women are used to ruling the households. Men giving the woman the check, here you go. Right? And the women going out and buying everything, not calling the husband what you want, this, not. We're used to that. Our mothers taught us this. The TV taught us this. The radio taught us this. The talk shows taught us this. Be rebellion against the orders, especially your husbands. Right? Their songs even teach them this. A lot of the songs these days are teaching this. So from every avenue here in America, we have propaganda to rebel subconsciously against the husband. Who do you think you, who you think you is? Right? I know Allah said this, I know Allah said that, but still you should, but. We have to come in conjunction with the Sharia. We have to fully submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the meaning. This is the meaning of Islam. Ask yourself a question. Have I sold my life, my property, my being to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If your answer is yes, then you cannot be obstructing or disobeying his law. If you are fully submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how are you disobedient to Allah? How are you but to your husband? And oh, I thought I know who you think. This is not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor is it from the actions of the righteous woman. So look at yourself, examine yourself. What do you plan to do? How are you going to plan? How are you going to take this knowledge that you receive here today? How are you going to act upon it? Because indeed, this is one of the four questions that no foot will leave from the plane until they're asked about your knowledge and how did you act upon it. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is educating you, yes, you with those ears. He's educating you about how you should act as a righteous wife. Now pose a question to yourself. How can I act upon this knowledge that I just received here today? The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, was translated as, which there are three who are not to be asked about. A man who abandons the Jum'ah and disobeys his ruler and dies in a state of A man who abandons the Jum'ah and disobeys his ruler and dies in a state of disobedience. So do not ask about him. A female slave or a male slave who flees from his master, and a woman whose husband is away and he has provided for her worldly needs, yet she adorns and displays herself and roams around freely without him, so do not ask about them. This hadith is in Al-Bukhari. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salat wa salam says, what translated as which, Allah will not look at a woman who does not give thanks to her husband, and she cannot do without him. Man, this is a wretched woman. And if we look around in our society today, if you're in America especially, our women are looking at us, or, you know, I'm looking at the women of Jahiliyyah. Their women, they have a couple of points. They even hang up inside their homes, which I'm not going to quote. But the women, they have this problem of saying, well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying she could not do without him, meaning he gives, he spends, he maintains, he protects, he and she doesn't give thanks, or she doesn't appreciate this. She looks at him like, you better, or you got to, or that's your job. No, you have to appreciate this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made your husband a major means of khair for you, of good for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in your put your risk through your husband. So your risk is coming a majority of the time from your husband. Your protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is coming majority of the time from your husband. Your sustenance is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the channel of your husband. Are you not grateful? Or do you not show gratefulness to your husband? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, translation of which, Allah will not look at a woman who does not give thanks to her husband, and she cannot do without him. Hadith Sahih. So, you know, this is all those who are listening today, take advantage of this. This deen, according to Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, he said that this deen composes of two things, of sabr and shukr. That is patience and gratitude. This is the deen. Right. Abu Huraira, he reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, translation of which, by him in whose soul my hand is, by him in whose hand is my soul, there is no man who calls his wife to his bed and she refuses him, except that the one who is in the heaven is angry with her until he is pleased with her. Hadith in Sahih al-Muslim. Brothers and sisters, this is one of the primary problems in the Muslim home here today. The whole ummah is suffering because of the lack of practicing this obligation. I want to tell you, a man, speaking from the viewpoint of a man has needs, right? And he has a woman, and the kuffar provide are by women. Women are at the desk, women are at the registers, women are at the bill payment centers. Women. Something you rarely find in society today where there's men secretaries. men beggars. They're men beggars. But majority of them are women. And they have perfume on. They got their blouses out. And all of that stuff. And he sees all this fitting and going through all the sewer throughout the day. And he comes home and his wife is tired, or his wife doesn't feel like making wasari, or his wife, and. This is going to cause a problem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it. Logically speaking, why do you think Allah azza wa jal allowed us to have four wives? One of the reasons, so I've seen the da'iyah, or heard the da'iyah and the ulama say that our inclination toward the opposite sex is stronger than the women. Women could be content or satisfied with one, with their husband, as long as she finds the right one, right? Depending on what type of book she reads. Men, it's a different case. It's a different case. And especially the men who have one wife, you have to be very careful, the women have to be very careful on taking care of their husband when they have one wife. You have to take care of him extra, right? So he won't be inclined to get another one. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, or excuse me, now going referring back to the hadith of Abu Huraira. Going back to this hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ said, translation of which, by him in whose hand my soul is. Ulama said that when Rasulullah ﷺ says this, this adds on to its seriousness. Rasulullah ﷺ is taking an oath. He's swearing. When a person swears, it shows the validity of what the Prophet ﷺ is about to say. There is no man, he's negating, there is no man who calls his wife to his bed and she refuses him except that the one who is in the heavens is angry or becomes upset with her until he is pleased with her. This hadith is Sahih Muslim. I asked there was a woman when I first took Shahada. She was one of my confidants, one of the brothers. I had a real good friend back in Arkansas, and they were with me when I took Shahada and assisting me and helping me, and we used to meet, and he would relay what she says. Now, she was the student of knowledge, and he was backing her with his wealth and trying to get her to learn and everything. She said something very significant. And I guess she was was in a position of counseling other Muslim women or other Muslim families. She said something that still sticks with me today. She said that she was talking to a particular sister, and she asked her, sister, let me ask you a question. I don't want to offend you. And the sister she was talking to on counseling said, sure, go ahead. Go ahead. And the sister I'm referring to, the advisor, she said, when he calls you to his bed, do you refuse him? And the sister she was counseling, she said, well, you know, sometime, da-da-da-da-da. And the counselor, or the sister, Muslim sister, may Allah bless her, she said, this is the problem. Look at the hikmah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave her. And you know what she said after that? She said, majority of the people who I talk to who are having problems in their relationship, she finds out that the women are not giving the men their right. She said this is in every problem of the relationship. She finds this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve her, forgive her, and give her the reward of a continuous reward for this. Of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, translation of which, when a woman spends the night forsaking the bed of her husband, and then the angels curse her until she returns. Sahih al-Bukhari. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, translation of which, if a man calls his wife to bed and she refuses, and he spends the night angry with her, then the angels curse her until morning. This hadith is in Al-Bukhari. Allah knows best about the cursing of this angel, the angels. Is it in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're asking Allah to curse her? I don't think that this is, Allah knows best. Or is it the cursing of, who does she think she is? Why is she doing this? When is she going to return? This is also could be a form of cursing. Or it could be the angels wishing harm upon her. This also could be in the form of cursing. But what is established from the Quran and the Sunnah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes angry or displeased with her until he is pleased with her. And what's also established is that the angels, if she they spend the night angry and they curse her until morning. Another hadith say until she returns. The Messenger of Allah alayhi salat wa salam, he said what is translated as, indeed, he is your paradise and your fire. This hadith is reported by Al-Hakim, and it has been declared sahih. And the meaning is the rights of your husband, you will never fulfill the rights of your husband, the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until you fulfill the rights of your husband. And in this particular statement, it is said that he is your paradise and or he is your fire. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiyallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, translation of which, a woman does not harm her husband in this world except that his wife from the large-eyed Hurun'in says, do not harm him, may Allah kill you, for he is just a passing guest with you and is about to leave you and come to us. Allahu Akbar. This hadith is in the...